This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, the wait almost over. The 2014 Ryder Cup is just a couple of days away, and it's Dave Kellner here with Mike Grenham on the William Hill Golf Podcast to preview the action from Gleneagles. The 2014 Ryder Cup has been hyped to with an inch of its life, Mike, it's fair to say.
Yes, we're recording this, Dave, on Tuesday, but the hype is already in full flow, and by Friday morning at UK time, about 7:30, it starts. It'll be at a frenzy.
It will indeed be at a frenzy. Looking forward to it immensely. Let's start with the outright prices. You're at 4-6, the Thai 10-1, the USA 13-8, and talk about the captains first of all. Paul McGinley, the captain for Europe. What do you make to his approach so far? He's got quite a meticulous approach, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's clearly been quite obsessed with the event for the last couple of years. Hasn't probably played quite as much as he might have. Even Watson might have played even more than him, even at his age, I'm reckoning. Yeah, very meticulous, very focused, has been in the team room a lot in recent Ryder Cups, so should know exactly what it's all about. People will crib the fact that he's not a major winner and things like that, but I'm not so sure that matters. I have a lot of respect for Nick Faldo as a TV pundit and a legend of the game as a European player with six majors, but he was a woeful captain of the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
McGinley was nowhere near as good a player, obviously, as Faldo. Doesn't mean he won't be a better captain. You know, it's a different task, isn't it? You know, Jose Mourinho wasn't a great footballer. He's
no.
A great manager. There's hundreds of examples of people who are great at playing something not being quite as good as managing or being captains or whatever you want to call it. So I actually think McGinley will be good.
He has played in three Ryder Cups, so he does have that experience.
Yeah.
Played in the Ryder Cup in 2002, famously hold that winning putt for a half with Jim Furyk. Played in 2004 and 2006, always on the winning side as well.
Yeah.
And I think his performances as captain in the Seve Trophy in 2009 and 2011 for the GB and I side have had a big influence on him being selected for this Ryder Cup management position.
Well, no doubt about it, yeah. He did his cause no harm at all in those events, did he? In fact, he was quite a spectacular captain. So I have a funny feeling he's going to be the better captain myself. I know most people think the other way around, but Tom Watson's a bit removed from these players, isn't he? He's quite a bit older than him. I know he has had success himself as a captain, but I just have a feeling that McGinley is closer to the players, will be more in their mindset, and maybe what he says will be more relevant to the players. Albeit Watson, of course, is a legend, isn't he? And he has
yes.
all that kudos. But it doesn't always work that the great players are great, you know, at getting the best out of these. Ultimately, it's not a team, is it? It's 12 individuals who are coming together to play as a team once every couple of years. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Tom Watson played in the Ryder Cup four times, 77, 81, 83 and 89. Had a formidable record as a player, winning 70% of the points that he played for. He was the last American captain to lead the US to victory on European soil as well. That was in 93 at the Belfry. And the US need a dominant captain, don't they? Because they've been on they need to regain some sort of foothold in this competition, Mike.
They do, Dave. They do, having gone, and I've got the internet in front of me here to tell me this, but having gone from 1935 through to 1983, the one in 83, and only losing one in 1957, they were pretty dominant. But actually, I think Europe have won seven of the last nine, haven't they? So
yep.
That tells you that's really amazing stat. The US team has really got some pressure.
What do you think to the picks? Let's talk about the picks. McGinley went with Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter and Stephen Gallagher. Let's start with those three picks. Do you think they were the correct options for this European side?
I would have picked Luke Donald myself. I don't know. I probably would have picked Luke Donald ahead of push Lee Westwood, I think. I think Gallagher kind of almost had to be in. He's Scottish. You need a bit of that to get the crowd going. He played ever so well and just missed out on automatic qualification. Arguably, he could have dropped him as well. You have to pick Poulter.
Yep.
No two ways about it. He's outstanding in the Ryder Cup, whatever else, you know. And it's... Well, you know, it's something that Colin Montgomery, I always defend him on this point, that, all right, he didn't win even ever so close to winning majors. But in the heat of the Ryder Cup battle, he was immense. Mm. He's certainly no choker. Ditto Ian Poulter. They've, when pushes come to shove, they've really shown their mettle, and you had to pick him. So would you have picked anyone different?
I would have picked Luke Donald, but I would have left Stephen Gallagher out, in all honesty, because... Europe, coming into this as overwhelming favourites, didn't have to take any chances, in my opinion. Luke Donald has shown in the past that he is a formidable match play opponent. Four balls or foursomes.
Yeah.
I like great putters in the Ryder Cup, and he's a fantastic
putter.
They
change the game, don't they? You've all seen those matches where it looks like the other team's going to win the hole, and then a good putter comes and completely flips it on its head and changes the momentum of a game.
Absolutely.
By holding a long putt. And Donald does that.
That's what Poulter's done historically.
Yeah, absolutely.
As for the Americans, Tom Watson, his picks, Hunter Mahan, Keegan Bradley and Webb Simpson. He has been criticised for not waiting longer to make his picks. The business end of the US season, the end of the FedEx Cup, and he made his picks early on. Chris Kirk and certainly Billy Horschel. I think Billy Horschel, if he'd waited 2 weeks longer, would definitely have featured in this side. Questionable whether Chris Kirk would. What do you think to... First of all, Watson's timing, because he suggested that the logistics of the event meant that he couldn't wait any longer, but it was a weak excuse to say family needed to prepare to come over, so on and so forth. That was a little bit of a chink in his armour as far as I was concerned.
Yes, well, why did they... I'm not really sure why the qualification finished at that point as well. Did that finish the same time? It must have, mustn't it, for the nine certain picks? So you could have argued that... Because Horschel would have got in probably, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I guess with his couple of wins. And, you know, he'd have got in automatically. He wouldn't have been a pick, would he? I don't know. I don't know the figures. I'm guessing he'd have been in automatically. He certainly is a big miss for the US team because his play in the FedEx events was outstanding. A second and two firsts. After Rory McIlroy, the most informed player in the world, isn't he, at the moment? And he's not here. But you've got to have some sympathy from Watson. Maybe the deadline was set for him. I don't know. He would certainly have picked Horschel, though.
Yeah, definitely. And given, we'll come on to the history of the event a little bit more closely in due course, but given that it's expected to be tight, it always has been tight in recent history of this battle, it could hinge on one player being absent. It really could.
Yeah, it could hinge on all kinds of things, yeah. So, yeah, you want your best team, don't you? Mm. So, I would have brought Donald, and the US team are certainly missing Horschel, who's just on fire. And they're missing a couple of other players, aren't they, that haven't made it? Tiger and Dustin Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
So, be interesting to see.
Europe have won 7 of the last 9 Ryder Cups, as Mike mentioned, barring a couple of blowout wins back in Oakland Hills in 2004 under Bernard Langer, where Europe won 18.5-9.5, and at the K Club in 2006, when Ian Woosnam led Europe to an 18.5-9.5 win. If you're looking for American blowout victories, they are few and far between in recent times. But at Valhalla, a competition you mentioned in 2008, Nick Faldo was captain. It all went horribly wrong for the European side, and Paul Azinger led the States to a 16.5-11.5 win. Barring that, those three occasions, scoring has been very close. In fact, 5 of the last 9 Ryder Cups have been decided by a single point, 14.5-13.5. And you go back further, 9 of the last 15 Ryder Cups decided by 2 points or less. And we roll round to the outright betting now, and you see Europe at 4-6 to win this, the tie at 10-1, the States at 13-8. Is the betting, in your opinion, Mike, too heavily skewed in the favour of the Europeans?
No. I don't think it is, Dave. I think it's about bang on. Uh, I I think if either of these sides drift this week, for example, if you got even money Europe, or if you got 2-1 USA, which could happen as offers come in, there's it. You know, towards Friday, as people try and get money in the satchels.
Yep.
I think the evens Europe would be a good bet, and I think 2-1 USA would be a good bet. I think the prices are absolutely spot on at the moment. I think Europe should be marginal favourites, home advantage, slightly better team, and just the history of winning 7 of the last 9. I guess by your intonation that you're not so sure.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think if the USA 13-8 is just a little bit too short, given the team, as you mentioned, slightly stronger team for Europe, and some of those American players not in the same sort of form they were in the middle of the season. That's what tempers enthusiasm if you're thinking about backing the States at 13-8. On the flip side of that, Europe's team, you can pick holes in that team as well, and I wouldn't want to be getting absolutely stuck in at 4-6.
Oh, it's so tight, this event, Dave. It's not quite a 5-6 the pair job. It's a little bit more competitive than that, but a little bit more skewed to Europe than that. Sorry, but it's very, very competitive. It's there's not a lot in it. I just do favour Europe at that price. We've had America being very short favourites for a lot of Ryder Cups in recent years, and Europe being overpriced, and I'd back them accordingly, and on a number of occasions, you know. So,
well, we mentioned that in last time we did the Ryder Cup preview back in 2012, the Miracle at Medina, which has been played 40,000 times on television since.
Yeah, in Europe, not in the US.
We were both very keen on Europe at a similar price to what the States are this time round.
Yes. And we had a little bit of luck on our side, yep, because at times it looked like it was going the other way, and certainly Tiger's concession of the putt on the against Molinari helped us, whether, you know, but it probably would have got it. But
Francesco Molinari, so sure.
Yeah, true. But there have been, Europe have been overpriced on a number of occasions as outsiders in this event. I don't think USA at 13-8 are quite big enough to say they're overpriced, given what we just said about home advantage and recent records and teams as well. So, for me, I'm leaving the outright betting for now. That's,
yeah.
In summary, I'll waffle no more. It's see if the prices drift, and then there could be a bet later in the week at those prices.
I agree, and obviously the match betting, very interesting, and Friday morning's four balls, the pairings will be crucial there as well. I think one thing that has fascinated me in the lead up to the event is Tom Watson talking to Paul Azinger about his pod system that he came up with for the 2008 Ryder Cup at Valhalla. Reading back through how he devised the pod system, Azinger was basically laid on his sofa watching some wildlife program. The next program came on, and he said he couldn't be bothered to get up and get the remote to change the channel. And the next program was about Navy SEALs and how they break their groups down into groups of four.
Yes.
And they do everything together. They eat together, sleep together, breathe together, and it almost bonds them as a group. And Tom Watson's talked to Azinger about this, and we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, Mike. Tuesday's practice pairings were announced.
They were in fours.
And he says he's adapting the pod system slightly, but still using it. I find that intriguing, and I think looking at those fours,
I have to say, to your great credit, you're very good at predicting these from past Ryder Cups. Who do you think the first
morning four balls
will be?
I'm going with
listeners. Should take note of this, because Dave is a bit of he's good record at this. After
did well with the Europeans
better than me, anyway.
Last time round, but this time it looks
tricky.
Tricky with the Europeans.
Yeah, making your excuses. All right.
I'm sitting on the fence. Like the US, I'm going with Simpson and Watson.
Yep.
They played very well together last time. Matt Kuchar and Jordan Spieth, Keegan Bradley and Ricky Fowler, which is maybe a little bit contentious, and Phil Mickelson and Jimmy Walker as the morning four balls. And for Europe, Poulter and Rose, McIlroy and Garcia, Stenson and de Buisson, and Kiemer and McDowell. It might be Kiemer and Gallagher. McDowell's sitting one out. McDowell may be sitting out the four balls. Better record in the foursomes, McDowell, historically. But it brings us on to a nice little sidebar here with McIlroy not being partnered with McDowell. This is interesting, isn't it, Mike? Because Horizon spat is in full flow at the moment. There's a definite undercurrent running through the European team.
But Greg McDowell, in his column on the BBC's website the other day, was saying that they're still friends. In fact, they're as close as they've ever been, albeit they've had a difficult year because of the case. So it's going to be. I think they'll play together at some point for sure. Whether they'll play together every game, I think, as you're saying, they probably won't, will they? So. It's just hard to know. It's hard to only they know whether their relationship has been deeply wounded or not.
Yeah, it's interesting though that Paul McGinley 3 or 4 months ago was saying McDowell and McIlroy they will be my grouping. As it comes closer to game time, as it were, he's now saying, well, statistically they've not got that strong a record together. They've only won 2 of 6
matches they've played.
It's not that good. But it seems, in fact,
it's bad.
It's poor. But the closer it comes to actually making this pairing, it does suggest that they aren't going to be paired together on that first Friday morning.
Interesting.
Almost definitely.
Well, I'll defer to you. Your record's very good in this. I was quite impressed at the last two Ryder Cups that you seem to get most of the pairings right. Fair play to you. It's an art in itself to try and guess some of these. It has to be said.
Okay, loads of betting.
So
on the website.
We're not having an outright bet at the moment.
No outright bet.
I've got bets though.
Let's start with
you
the
want bets.
Let's start with the correct score. Betting.
Yeah.
favourite here is Europe 15-13, 8-1. It's 9-1, Europe 14.5, 13.5. 10-1 for the States to win for 15-13. 10-1 for the 14-14 tie. By the way, that's traded odds on in the last two Ryder Cups, the tie.
Has it?
14.5, 13.5 to the States is 11-1. And it's bigger prices the rest. All the betting on the website. Lots of markets, by the way, available for the Ryder
Cup,
as you can imagine. Any thoughts on the correct score?
Yeah, I have some quite strong thoughts on the correct score, Dave. You gave some very related stats that were absolutely bang on earlier. And just to kind of focus even more, 7 of the last 12 Ryder Cups have finished less a point or less difference. 6, 14.5, 13.5. And one draw in 89. So you can get 11-1 USA to win by a point, and you can get 9-1 Europe to win by a point. 7 out of 12 is obviously odds on. And of course, it's not entirely related and it's historical. But it just shows you how tight these events are. The last two have finished with this correct score, both to Europe as it happens. So a rough 9-2, crudely taking both angles, USA to win by a point or Europe to win by a point. I'm going for that as a 9-2 shot. I think that's cracking value, to be honest. It's going to be tight, I think, almost definitely. Not a lot between the teams. So I like the 14.5, 13.5 at 9-2.
Much more likely to be one of those two scorelines than the draw, in my opinion, because as you mentioned earlier, we saw what happened in the last Ryder Cup at Medina, where Woods gave the point to Molinari there.
It's only likely to be a draw if it's the other way around and US have a chance of winning it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then it doesn't matter. If it's 14-0, Europe retain the trophy. So if it's Europe who have the chance of winning the last game, the Americans would probably let them win. But if it's the other way around, it could be different, couldn't it?
Does
that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I get where you're coming
from. And to be fair, Dave, I think someone somewhere along the line will open up more than a couple of point lead in this event. Even though I think it's going to be tight, somewhere down the line there'll be a team that goes a couple ahead, even in running. That's the time to back the draw when it drifts out to maybe 20s or something, It's only 10-1 at the moment, which is a lot shorter than it used to be years ago. But these matches have got so tight that the draw's really, really compressed in the market. So I would keep the draw on my side and have a little saver on that in running.
Competition's got more intense, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The last two Ryder Cups, way more intense. America, the States, are more bothered about this trophy than they have ever been in the past.
Yeah.
In my opinion, given that they've just narrowly been edged out at Celtic Manor and at Medina. So they are definitely more bothered.
Oh, they are. Well, they don't like losing, do they? And they're not used to losing, so they're so focused on winning and every chance of doing so, I guess. Yeah. Are you having a correct score bet?
I'm not, but I would be with you wholeheartedly. If I was going to have a correct
score
bet,
I'd
be doing 14.5.
It's 9-2 a point win, isn't it? You know, based on that.
Yes.
And based on the fact that 6 of the last 12 have been exactly that and one was a draw, you can tell how tight it is. You know, it tells you a story, let alone the stats you give.
I'd be definitely with you if I was going to have a play.
If I was going to have a silly outside bet, 2 of the last 5 have been won by 9, 18.5, 9.5. I said this the last Ryder Cup, funnily enough. If you want a silly outsider bet, 100-1 USA to win 18.5, 9.5. I don't know why that figure comes up so often, but it is for a big one. It also happened in 81.
Yeah.
You know, considering how many Ryder Cups we've had with Europe and the USA, it's happened 3 times in about however many it is, 15, is it?
79, since 79.
Since 79. So it's, I don't know why that's, when it's a wide margin, it seems to be 18.5, 9.5. If you wanted a silly little bet, a huge prize on the correct scores, 50-1 Europe and 100-1 US. And I said exactly the same thing 2 years ago, and it wasn't. I'd much more fancy the 1-point win, though. Don't get me wrong. That's just if one side runs away with it, just for a bit of fun, because otherwise all your bets are down now on the correct score, aren't they? But 1 point, I think that 1 point at 9-2 is gives you a cracking interest.
Yes, statistically it's the bet, isn't it?
The statistics are on your side, hugely.
We haven't talked much about the course either, Glen Eagles, as a venue. Similar to Celtic Manor in many ways, a stadium course, quite exposed, but the wind might play a factor this week. Apparently gusts of up to 35 miles per hour, a constant of 10 to 20. That could be a significant factor.
Yeah, you'd imagine that would favour Europe, I guess, from used to being playing in the conditions more, but it doesn't. It's hard to really work that one out, isn't it? It's Rory McIlroy's not fantastic in the wind, though, is he? So,
no.
Whereas people like Garcia and McDowell are okay, aren't they? So, Mickelson wouldn't like it if it was windy, I would suggest. So, yeah, that factor is hard to fathom, but I don't think the Ryder Cup will be won and lost on the basis of the weather.
The outright's obviously a very popular market, Mike. The other two most popular markets are the top player markets.
Yeah.
Let me spin you through the top European player betting. Rory McIlroy 7-2 here with William Hill. Sergio Garcia 11-2. Ian Poulter 7-1. Justin Rose is 7-1. Henrik Stenson is 8. Graeme McDowell 10-1 along with Martin Keimer. And it's 14's bar. I have got a pick here.
I have two.
A pretty strong selection. Do you want to go first?
I wonder if it's the same player.
I'm going Justin Rose.
Yeah, I am.
At 7-1.
It's probably my strongest bet of the tournament, actually, Dave. I don't know about you. I just think each way,
it is my strongest bet, definitely.
Quarter of the first three, he's got to, he's going to, well, my theory on the top point scorers is don't bother with outsiders because you've got to play 4 or 5 games, haven't you?
Definitely.
Yeah, if you don't play 4 or 5, you're really up against it, aren't you? Because someone who plays 5 has every chance. Someone who plays 5 should win 3, shouldn't they?
You can rule out 5 names here, in my opinion. You can rule out your rookies, Gallagher, Dubuisson, and Donaldson.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood and Elder Statesmans.
Won't play all 5.
He won't play all 5. He won't play. He'll probably play 3.
Yeah.
Thomas Bjorn. He's played in 2 Ryder Cups, but he's not played since 2002 at the Belfry. So it'd be a big surprise if he got more than 3.
He won't play more than 3.
No, he'd probably play 2, won't he, Thomas Bjorn?
I backed him last week, Dave, and his body language was poor. He just looked out of sorts. I was disappointed with my bet, to be truthful. So, no, he won't play 4, let alone 5.
And you've got Justin Rose here. I don't want to steal your thunder, Mike, but this is a man that he'll play 4 or 5 this week. He's got an incredible record with Ian Poulter. He went out, incidentally, on Tuesday morning with Ian Poulter and Stephen Gallagher. Poulter and Rose played 5 matches together, 3 in 2008 and 2 at Medina last time. They've won a total of 4 points. They've only been beaten once. That was by Stuart Sink and Chad Campbell 4 years ago at Valhalla.
Where are they now?
Yeah, precisely. So I just think it's a fantastic, fantastic price. And the reason I like it so much is because he'll play the morning 4 balls and he's incredible in foursomes.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine he's going to get the Friday afternoon foursomes.
Yeah.
And then the Saturday afternoon foursomes. If he's played well on Friday, he'll even get the four balls on. He could even get the four balls on Saturday morning.
Mm.
He is, in my opinion, the best foursomes partner in the European team.
Yep.
Because he's an incredible ball striker.
Yep.
He needs to be with a good putter for four balls, and that's why his partnership with Ian Poulter has been so successful.
Yeah, yeah. But he put it fantastic, didn't he? In the last Ryder Cup, where the at Medina, where the game with Phil Mickelson was just outstanding, wasn't it?
He's, put on 17.
Yeah, that par three, it was amazing, wasn't it? And wow. So he's shown he can do it. He'll be chomping at the bit to get involved in this tournament with Justin Rose. I think 7-1 is a great each way price, Dave. I can't see him being out of the top three in that market, can you?
No.
He played all five games at Medina, didn't he? So I don't see any reason that he won't repeat that. And he's got a good record out of nine turnouts in the last two Ryder Cups that he's played in. He didn't play 2010, he played 2008. He's got 6 points out of nine, which is a cracking record. His standing in the game is higher than ever, really. He's a major winner now, obviously. Yeah, Justin Rose is 7-1. He should be near enough favourite for that market.
It sets up better for him that the four balls are at a Friday morning and not the other way around as well. I think that sets,
why is that
sets up nicely for him, because I think he's guaranteed to play in the morning.
Yeah.
Whereas if the foursomes were in the morning and he didn't get off to a fantastic start in the foursomes, he might miss the four balls. Yeah. But this way around, he's bound to play both matches on the Friday.
We need him to win his first game, don't you? I always think in these bets, because then in the captain's head, you're a winner, aren't you? You're off and running. Often you see guys who win on the first morning play more than they should. Because it just gets the psychology of it. Is, oh, he's been playing well, he's winning, you know. So it does help if you can win your first session match. I think you get more picks, and more picks means a much bigger chance of winning this market. But that said, I think at 7-1, he's got to be in the first three of the top Europeans, I would think.
Yeah.
I can't see him not.
I'm playing a couple of points each way on Justin Rose.
I'm with you. That's my strongest bet of the event. Yeah,
I agree. Top American then, 11-2 Ricky Fowler in this market.
Yeah,
6-1 Phil Mickelson, Jim Furyk, Keegan Bradley, and Matt Kuchar all 8-1. Bubba Watson, Hunter Mahan, and Jordan Spieth all 10s. Webb Simpson is 12-1. Jimmy Walker 16s, along with Patrick Reed and Zach Johnson. Unoriginal here for me, Mike. I'm going Ricky Fowler.
I knew you would.
At 11-2. I think he will go all five matches. I would be surprised if he doesn't. Obviously, it all depends on how he's performing, but I expect him to perform well. He's the most informed player in the US team. I think he's going to be paired with Keegan Bradley, which would be fantastic if those two were paired together for this bet in particular. Likes playing in the wind as well. Ricky Fowler could be a factor. I see him almost being the leader of this team, despite that stupid haircut that he's got. I can see him being a big factor, and he's the one guy in there where you think he can turn it on. Foursomes and four balls, makes a ton of birdies. I'll go with Ricky Fowler at 11-2.
Yeah, I can see that, Dave. He's going to be very popular in that market, isn't he? I have an old favourite though as my pick in this event. You probably guess, can you?
Matt Kuchar?
Yes, Matt Kuchar. I think Matt Kuchar will play all five games. I really do. He played played four in 2010, won two of three last time round. I just think he'll play all five. I really do. He's so solid, good ball striker, great demeanour for the Ryder Cup. You know, doesn't get flustered, can putt well. I just have a strong feeling that with the weakness of some of the players in the US team, that Kuchar is going to play at least four, if not five games. I really do think he'll be one of the leaders of the team. In good form throughout the season, 13th in the Tour Championship in his last turnout. In fact, Justin Rose was fourth in that, which was good to see. Both of them are in good form. Very good match player, Kuchar. Won the World Match Player last year. And I just expect him to play a lot and to be a leading light in the US team. And at 8-1, again, I think he'll play plenty. I think he'll play more games than Mickelson, for example. Mickelson's knocking on a bit, and Mickelson's shorter than him in the markets.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Mickelson has to be rested, didn't he, in Medina?
Yeah,
famously, when he'd been the spark with Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
In the first couple of days there, and that arguably changed the event in Medina. Really did. That was a big.
They were playing ever so well together, weren't they?
Playing brilliantly, and Davis Love the third. He did the words of Mickelson there. Mickelson didn't play with Bradley, and
do you think Bradley
turned?
I noticed your enthusiasm for the Fowler Bradley partnership, but Bradley's not playing as well this time round as he was 2 years ago.
No,
is he? So, Kuchar, who have you had him down with? Spieth was his partner, was it?
Yeah,
well, I'd love that. That would be
handy.
Spieth's
not playing. Didn't play that well, did he? In the Tour Championship,
I think Spieth
27th there.
I think Spieth will play well. I think he's. I could see him being up for this kind of thing.
Mm. It really is fascinating. I'm interested to see if Patrick Reed gets a go on the four balls in Friday morning.
Was he your best outsider? There was one US player that I thought was a big price, but probably won't just play enough. Zach Johnson has a pretty good record in the Ryder Cup, but he'd need to start Friday's first session and play really well. He was 3 points from four in Medina.
Yeah, he was, and he got a couple. He got a couple.
Two out of three at Celtic Manor.
Yeah.
So he's 5 points from seven in the last two Ryder Cups. That's a very, very good record. And it hasn't been great in the last few months, but until then was playing really well. He was second in the John Deere and 16th in the Deutsche Bank. Hasn't been playing as well as he was earlier in 2014, but that record's good. If he plays on Friday, I'll have a little saving on him if he starts Friday morning. But there's a possibility that Watson might not play him a lot. I'm guessing. I don't know. 16's is bigger.
Yeah, I didn't have him down starting the morning four balls. I see more of as a foursomes player.
Yeah, well, he's very accurate and he's a good putter. Let's see. I won't back him unless he starts Friday morning, and then I'm hoping that he catches Watson's eye, plays with someone decent, and they keep that partnership.
Any other bets worthy of mention? Then we've been through the top player market. So I'm going smaller on Ricky Fowler. I do much prefer Justin Rose, and at 11-2, I'll play him win only. So I'll just go a point win on Ricky Fowler at 11-2 in that US market.
Yeah, I 1.5 points each way for Kuchar for me, 2 points each way for Rose. I might even stick them in an each way double, I think, but as long as they don't play each other again in the first session, I don't want to go on about that. But if they don't, I might stick them in an each way double as well. I've got a couple of mentions. I think Jordan Spieth in the top debutant market, Dave.
Yep.
Whether you want to go
12-5.
12-5 to be top debutant, including the Europeans. And I think he's 13-10 to, but which is possibly a better bet, to be top debutant American.
Yeah.
Top American debutant.
He is 13-10.
He's only up against Jimmy Walker and Patrick Reed there. 13-10, he'll play more than them.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. I was looking through the because I'm a little bit sadistic like this. I was looking through the lowest scoring overall player and the lowest scoring European player and American player, and just seeing if there were any angles in. I found it difficult. I was tempted to say Thomas Bjorn at 5-1 would be the lowest scoring European player. Mm. I don't mind that as a play at all. Stephen Gallagher, I think, will get a chance in the four balls. It could happen on Friday morning for Gallagher if McGinley wants to go down that path of energising the crowd early on and blooding one or two maybe of his debutants. Mm. Thomas Bjorn, the elder statesman, as you mentioned, hasn't looked really strong in either of his last two starts. Possibly only played two games. One of them might be foursomes as well. Maybe more difficult to get a win in a foursomes match. So I liked Thomas Bjorn at 5-1 to be lowest scoring European.
Absolutely get your logic on that, Dave. I think that's a fair call. Yeah, I looked at that market. I couldn't really pick anyone out, but Thomas Bjorn, I hear what you're saying. He could easily not play many matches, couldn't he? Mm. I thought there was an interesting one of the specials. He's a European wildcard. Have a look at the betting for that, Dave. Before I say anything, bring the European wildcard player up.
Top European wildcard. Ian Poulter, 10-11. Lee Westwood, 7-4. Stephen Gallagher, 100-30.
10-11, Ian Poulter, to beat those two.
Yep.
That's a cracking
bet. A few people are suggesting that Ian Poulter might not have the same sort of influence in the Ryder Cup as he has done in previous years. You obviously don't see that, Mike. You see him still being a huge factor this time round.
I think he'll play more than Westwood and Gallagher, won't he? Yeah, he's just I'd fancy him to get more points than those two, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't think Gallico will play enough, and Westwood's a bit out of sorts on my money. So at 10 to 11, that strikes me as a decent price. You could say that.
So suppose Poulter's a little bit out of sorts.
He is, but Ryder Cup, he turns it on, doesn't he?
He does.
I know that's a cliche, and I know. I don't fancy him to be top point scorer this time because he can't dominate every Ryder Cup, can he? On a lot of averages, one would guess. But if he doesn't beat Westwood and Gallagher, I'll be surprised.
Let's wrap up then. Have you got any other bets?
No, I'm happy. I'm happy with my bets. I'll keep an eye on the outright. If there's a major move one way or the other, I might play the one that drifts because it's tight, Dave. It's tight.
This is a week for Twitter as well. It really is a week for Twitter this week.
There'll be a bit of tweeting.
There will be at D Kellner and at M Grenham. I'll definitely have some bets in play on the matches.
Well, the matches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And. Live on InPlay Radio for all the Ryder Cup as well. So live from 8 a.m. every morning on
InPlay
Radio.
Tune in, guys, because we'll have live betting updates throughout the 3 days of the Ryder Cup. You won't have me, but you'll have Dave Kellner and his buddies.
Me waffle on for three straight days on the golf. So I'm looking forward to that immensely.
We're good at that, aren't we?
We're good at waffling. Let's go through the bets then, Mike. No bets in the outright.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet, but 14.5, 13.5, I'm backing both Europe to win by that margin and USA at 9-1 and 11-1 for roughly a combined 9-2 price. So I'd be wanting to, at the 9-2, I'd be wanting at least 4 points win, so work that out for yourself what you're going to stake on that. And in the top Euro, I'm going 2 points each way, Justin Rose, and 1.5 points each way, Matt Kuchar in the top USA.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Mike, about the correct score, definitely. And if I was going to have a bet in the correct score market, those would be the two. I'm going to go 2 points each way on Justin Rose as well at 7-1 to be top European. And I'm just going to go a point win on Ricky Fowler at 11-2.
A point win?
I know, it'd be a little bit measly, isn't it?
Like a man.
A point win on Ricky Fowler. You're not getting me there. 11-2 to be top US. You fancy a free lunch bet on that?
On which?
Kuchar versus Fowler?
Well, I've got to be noble and say yes. Fowler is a big danger in that market. Yeah. Not Mickelson, who's ahead of Kuchar in the market. No, I'll go with that, Dave.
Okay.
I'm giving you the odds there, aren't
you?
As usual. I would say they're my bets. Real bets done and dusted. We've also said we'll keep an eye on the outright. Someone drifts to a silly price.
We've had a look at the specials as well, haven't we? There's loads of specials on the website.
I just want to summarise on that, though, Dave. 8.5, 9.5, either way, for someone who likes a huge price. Zach Johnson, if he plays the Friday morning, the top US could be worth 16s, could be worth a little interest. And top debutant Spieth probably in the top US at 13-10, and Poulter got to be top wildcard, aren't he, in Europe, 10-11.
Yeah, and the one I like most is Thomas Bjorn to be lowest scoring player in the Ryder Cup and lowest scoring European.
What is he for the
5-1?
Is that the European one or is that
the European one? Lowest scoring European is in the betting at 5-1.
Yeah.
Lowest scoring overall player. He's in the betting
at tens.
Yes.
What would you go for there then? Which would you be your preference, or would you back both?
I'd back the European.
Okay.
I'd back lowest scoring European at 5-1. There's a few doubts about a few of the American players whether they're going to start. Patrick Reed has been in pretty dismal form, but I see him being
he could really be energised
by match play, that sort of character, isn't he? I just wish Horschel was there. If Horschel was there, I think he'd be leading this American side out there, but he's not. And the 24 players have been decided. Friday morning, all your bets must be on pre-tournament. Friday morning.
But there'll be loads of in-play. You're in in-play radio, Dave. Click on the website and where it says radio and podcast, just under the main header, you'll get in-play radio, and the guys will be giving loads and loads of coverage of the markets and the latest happenings. And you'll be ahead of the TV pictures, I reckon, as well.
Yeah, we will be. And the good thing about that is we're betting all the matches in play as well, which will be a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Remember to follow myself and Mike on Twitter at D Kellner and at M Grenham. And enjoy the Ryder Cup. Nothing quite like it. And we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.